Football Fix. It's brought to you by Coors Light. We guarantee you football each and every weekday morning at 8 o'clock, no matter what's going on. Now, sometimes you'll get 2 minutes of football, and then we'll move on to something else. And sometimes you'll get 10 minutes of football. It all depends on what's hot and what's strong. And today, it's an NFL.com article that lists the top sideline reporters in the NFL.
Really?
Yes. And, Paul, congratulations, you made the list.
Really?
Yes.
Because I really consider myself more of an analyst.
Oh, wow.
Boy, that's good.
Well done.
That's good.
Actually, there is not a list of the top 32 sideline reporters in the NFL.
I'm talking to Craig Wolfley right now. That's right. Fellow sideline analyst.
No.
Although he has 12 more years in the NFL playing experience than I do.
He says sideline non-combatant.
Oh, that's kind of entertaining.
True.
No, I don't mind mixing it up. So
you can fit into that category because you're not really combating with anybody. Except when John Clayton's on the sideline. Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
Other than Clayton, I'm Paulie pacifist.
What did Darnell Dockett call you? What was that, Paul? What did he say about you that one time?
We don't need to get into the whole guard and tackle the water bucket. We don't need to get into that one at all. No.
That's entertaining.
That's good, though.
No, we don't.
It is funny that Seattle Radio hires John Clayton to be the opponent sideline reporter.
That's right.
They have an opponent sideline reporter, so Clayton's on the Cardinals sideline staring down Paul Calvisi.
Yeah, during a Seahawks game, I don't totally trust Clayton. I can always keep half an eye on where Clayton's going exactly.
Now, our football fix is not highlighting Paul Calvisi. It is highlighting holdouts.
You know what? You know, I try not to focus on that. Again, I'm just trying to focus on the guys that are here. And looking to get better each and every day with the ones that are here.
Granted, 100% list broadcasting.
Yes.
100% NFL.com deciding, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But it is interesting that whenever you see a list, it'll grab your attention where David Johnson is on the same list as Lev Bell, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, Earl Thomas, Julio Jones, David Johnson. You're thinking, oh, good. This is good. What did he do? What record did he set? No, it is a list of what they consider to be the biggest holdouts that could possibly affect training camp. And David Johnson is listed as the sixth most likely holdout to affect training camp.
Yeah, and once again, Basinonians, I want to be clear on this, right? I do believe, I'm an optimist, though. You've got to know this. I'm a positive person by nature, but I do believe that this is going to be resolved before training camp. The one concern I have is that this would bleed into training camp. If it does, I don't think it is, but if it does, I'm concerned about it, and the reason why I'm concerned about it is because David Johnson is still learning the nuance of the game of football. He's still learning, and now you're talking about a new offense that he'd be learning this year, and I know he's been to OTAs. I know he's been here all offseason, right? He has a playbook. He understands it. He's been sitting in the meeting rooms. He's been watching film. He's been out there on the field. I understand all of that, but it's still not playing the game of football unless you have pads on. And it's a complex offense on top of that. If you tell me he's going to miss considerable time of training camp, which I don't think that's going to happen, but if in fact it did, because we deal in speculation, then you know what? That would be problematic for David Johnson and for the Cardinals, in my opinion.
I believe the date is August 7th. We're trying to verify this. There was a tweet from Joel Corey, who's a former NFL agent, and he had something salient to say on the topic last week where he cited August 7th as the date of demarcation where he goes from unrestricted free agent after this season to restricted free agent if he doesn't show up. That's the date you need to look at.
I do know there is a date in early August that what happens is you lose the, not necessarily the service time, but you lose the qualification in order to have that label and have earned the right to be unrestricted, and that keeps the rights with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
So I'm totally, and there's no way he's going to allow that, lose that leverage. So the Cardinals, to me, and that's the thing where I so disagree with David Johnson's agents and therefore David Johnson by doing this. You think you have leverage in this because, oh no, the Cardinals need you. No, you actually have very little leverage in this because, yes, the Cardinals need you, but you're not going to give up unrestricted free agency for this. All you're going to do is hurt your knowledge of the offense. How does that benefit you, David? How does that make this situation better?
But he's a running back, who ostensibly get very few snaps anyway, at least until the third and almighty preseason game. So if he's missing time early in camp and continuing to keep those legs fresh, my boxers aren't in a bunch. And besides, it's not, that's what I said, it's not going past August 7th. It's just not going to happen. So if he misses the first 8 or 9 days of camp,
yeah,
by the time we hit September, nobody will remember that.
Well, I would say a couple of things on that. Number one, I think David is more of a guy that actually learns by doing. I think he's more of a guy that learns that way. We all learn in different ways. I think he's probably more of a guy that learns via experience than anything else. And you know, the other thing is just the fact that it puts you in this weird frame of mind when you hold out and you're not doing what you should be doing. And David is a emotional, very personal guy. Would you say that, Paulie?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a guy that
very
really,
genuine.
Very genuine, absolutely. A guy that, you know how he's feeling. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. And honestly, I just don't, any type of confrontation I don't think is a good thing for him going forward, right? I don't think that. That's just my impression of David Johnson.
First off, I firmly believe if it wasn't for all those other names on that list, the Khalil Macks and Julio Jones and Lev Bells, we wouldn't be here with David Johnson. He's the last guy to join that list. I think he scanned the landscape late in this process and said, you know what? As long as there's a half dozen other big names and marquee potential free agents, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Let me just say this again. I think there are guys, ladies and gentlemen, that enjoy holdouts. I do. I think there are guys that enjoy the process of holding out and saying, I got this. This is me. David Johnson is not one of those guys. And see, that's my point.
Then there's this.
Got down there then.
I got 4-4-5.
You got 4-4 what?
I got 4-4-3.
That's right.
It ain't. You know, I ain't gonna cheat. Huh?
Hey, numbers don't lie, baby. Sign this man up.
Hey, yeah, you sliding.
Sign this man up.
4-4-3.
That is T.O., thanks to NFL.com, saying that he just ran a 4-4-3 40. And he wants back in. And he says, the numbers don't lie. I got the numbers to prove it. Sign me.
Is that his 40 time or is that his age, 44? which one is that at this point? Or is that the number of drops per game, 4.4, that he averages?
Was that electronic or your friend holding a handheld? Right.
Which does bring up the question to me, in a 40-yard dash, Wolf or Burnsy?
I'm going Wolf. It'll take him a good 10 to 15 yards to get that head of steam rolling, but once he does, that kinetic energy,
hey,
I mean, boom.
4.58, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not
in the books.
See, here's the thing. I'm not asking who's faster, Wolf or Burnsy. I'm saying, can Wolf actually get to the 40-yard line?
See, there's no way. I'm pulling a hamstring. It's flying right
so that's
out
the
my
thing.
Armpit. Well,
this
see,
is like tortoise and hare. Like, Wolf is going to beat him to the 20. But that other 20 yards, what happens to Wolf?
I'd go down in a pile as my hamstring exited my body through my armpit.
Otherwise, you need 40 yards of stopping time for Wolf to actually come to a halt once he passes the finish line.
Eddie Johnson always says on the Suns broadcast, it's not as much the acceleration, it's the brakes. He said, old guys can't stop once they get things
right. I would disagree with that.
I would disagree. I love it when he says it, though.
Unless your hammies implode and down goes Wolf.
I would disagree.
I would do pay-per-view for that. Easily. I'm spending $5 to watch those two go at it. Coming up next is the rebirth of a brand. And does it also coincide with the rebirth of the Suns? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Who will be the chosen son? We're talking number one pick on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
So do you think there'll be a day where sitting on the front row of a Suns game is Larry Fitzgerald, which I've seen before about 4 or 5 times a year, Jay-Z and Beyonce?
Is he? Jay-Z and Beyonce?
Do you think that day will come where all three of them are sitting on the front row of the Suns game?
Yes. I'm going to say yes. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I could see that. Jay-Z, of course, now the creative director for Puma. Puma coming back, the shoe brand, ladies and gentlemen, making a comeback in the NBA.
They're trying to compete with Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, all these big players. But what's interesting about Puma, these players that they signed, Bagley and Ayton, they said they liked Puma because of the entertainment factor that this brand provides. Because they've already got deals Puma does with Meek Mill, Rihanna, Kylie Jenner, and they've got global sport endorsers like Usain Bolt. But they had been absent from the NBA for 20 years. So this is going to be a big fight with all these shoe companies.
The reason why this is a story that you as a Suns fan needs to know about is that Jay-Z was first announced to ESPN by Puma as president. President of Puma.
Yeah.
Which sounds pretty important.
It's a misnomer.
And then they jump back and the source said, wait a minute. I can confirm that according to his deal with Puma, Jay-Z's official designation is creative director.
Yeah.
According to Adam Petrick, the global director of marketing and brand for Puma. So they've got a global director, but he's now the creative director. And this applies because one of the first two players to sign with Puma is DeAndre Ayton.
Yes.
And DeAndre Ayton now will represent Puma. Now, the first quote-unquote player they went after is no longer a player. They re-signed Walt Frazier to another lifetime contract.
Doug Grace, of course.
Because he was one of the originals.
You mean Walt Clyde Frazier.
Yes, of course.
Of course. Clyde the Glide.
And in re-signing him, he's been the retro guy back with Puma. And now DeAndre Ayton, he did two things. He claims, number one, Usain Bolt. And his image, his personality, his representation of the Caribbean, that drew him to Puma because that's what Usain Bolt wore was Puma.
Interesting.
And then there is simply, he says, they get entertainers. And
okay.
Does that cause you a little pause? DeAndre Ayton, are you here to rebound? Are you here to be on the war path? Are you here to lead us to a title? Are you here to entertain? And are those two things exclusive? Can you care about entertainment, DeAndre Ayton, as you care about winning?
As long as you're competing, as long as you focus on the competition whatsoever, yeah, a byproduct can easily be entertaining. There's no doubt about that. And wouldn't it be entertaining to watch a guy who was 7'1", 260 pounds, with a 40-inch vertical? Would that not be entertaining to watch a guy play the game of basketball if he did it overtly and intentionally and aggressively? You better believe it.
Now,
focus on the competition, though.
There is zero chance this is going to affect Ryan McDonough's decision. But is there a chance 5 years from now, if we look back on Ayton's unfulfilled potential, that we're going to remember people like Jonathan Givony of ESPN.com who said...
Well, it's going to be DeAndre Ayton. I would take Doncic personally, but I'm definitely in the minority there. Both, you know, if you talk to NBA teams, you talk to scouts, you talk to media folks, you even talk to my colleague Mike Schmitz, he's also on the Ayton board. I'm a Doncic guy. I'm looking at the way that the NBA game is played now. Give me a 6'8", 230-pound point guard who can play pick and roll, can make every pass, who can make shots off the dribble.
I bring this up because, listen, I'm admitting to you completely, I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm on the Ayton bandwagon. I've been on it since November. I'm not arguing Ayton's going to fail because of Puma.
I'm on the same train.
But I do think it's fair to ask the question, to not be afraid of the question. Does anybody see this? Nobody is going to look at this now as a warning sign. And yet, 5 years from now, if he doesn't succeed or he is worried about his image and marketing and all these things, we're all going to say, why didn't Ryan McDonough see it? And yet, is anybody willing to look at it now and say, why are you worried about this, DeAndre? Now, everybody signs a shoe contract.
Yeah,
but I'm
right.
talking about choosing Puma because they get entertainers. That's a different reason.
You know, listen, I don't know why DeAndre Ayton said, you know, I'm the entertainer. I mean, honestly, as long as he's focusing on the competition, he is going to entertain. There's no doubt about that. Watching LeBron James play the game of basketball, ladies and gentlemen, would you say it's entertaining? Of course you'd say it's entertaining. Watching Steph Curry play the game of basketball, it's entertaining. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, you're an entertainer. I got no problem. If you want to see yourself as an entertainer, that's fine. But tell me you're focusing on the competition.
I'm an entertainer.
It's the process.
Puma knows entertainers and the way we move. I like color.
Yes.
Expect to see that.
Okay.
Anything different and new, expect to see that.
Yeah, just, you know what, honestly, that's fine. As long as I can look at you, DeAndre Ayton, and I can see that you are tapped in to the rage tree. That's all. Hey, you can be an entertainer all you want to be. You can perceive yourself any way that you want to. That's fine with me. I've got no problem with that, DeAndre, as long as you are tapped in to the rage tree when you compete.
Now, no one has said Doncic is tapped in to the rage tree.
No.
But another example, Amin El-Hassan, NBA insider with ESPN, formerly paid by the Suns for his opinions on draft picks, on free agents, on basketball.
Yeah, I go Doncic. Jonathan Givony, who does a great job for us at ESPN, put it best. He said, Doncic had 20 points and 9 assists in the Spanish League finals, basically, over the weekend. But since he did that in 5-on-5 and not in 1-versus-0, that's not good enough for the NBA somehow.
Man, I'll tell you what. You know what? That is a guy, Amin El-Hassan, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to listen to what it is that he has to say, but at the same time, I think sometimes you can stare at the sun and go blind. I do believe that. I think if something is so overt, something so good, that you just start going, wait a minute, it can't be that good.
First of all, if you don't take DeAndre Ayton, you're just an idiot.
And then you have Chuck saying that. And then Jonathan followed that up. I don't know if you have that, if you built a script there. I have no idea.
What do you know about building the script?
I have no idea if you guys built a script, but then you had Jonathan. What's his last name again?
Still Givony.
Givony. Interesting. Jonathan Givony. He said something that was a little contrary, did he not?
You have to
and
give
I
me
love
more
this
info
guy.
On what you were interested in.
I love this guy. He was dogmatic. There's no doubt about it. Jonathan Givony, dogmatic, convicted. But he was a contrarian. Make no mistake about that. Do you have people in your life that are contrarians, Basinonians? You probably know them by name. I mean, suddenly you had Jonathan saying 19-year-olds aren't hard to project. Ooh, really? He doesn't like comps, even though the NBA scouts love comparisons.
You know, nobody's batting 1,000 on this. You know, even the best NBA talent evaluators have made mistakes. And so, you know, I understand that there are hundreds of variables involved in whether a guy, you know, reaches his full potential or not. And a lot of them are things that we can't project at this stage. You know, the situation that they go into, their coaching staff, the teammates you surround them with, you know, injuries creep up. There's so many different things.
It'll take Doncic over Ayton. Really?
I'm not. Join 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party this Thursday. Starting at 4 o'clock live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to RSVP to watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick.
Can Rihanna dunk?
Can Rihanna dunk? Coming up next, the two names that are getting the most attention in this city.
Yes.
Josh Rosen.
Yes.
And DeAndre Ayton.
Yes.
So up next, let's get on the one brother who has two brothers that are involved with both of those guys.
McDonough?
Sean McDonough.
Oh.
Next, on the number one pick his brother needs to take in the draft. Coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Okay, there are two names this city doesn't seem to be able to get enough of. And that is Josh Rosen and DeAndre Ayton. So we need a McDonough insider because we have one McDonough that brought in Josh Rosen as the vice president of player personnel with the Arizona Cardinals.
That's right.
And now we need to know if the other brother is bringing in DeAndre Ayton or not. So Sean McDonough has just called in having no idea he's going to get the CIA treatment on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Sean McDonough, ESPN play-by-play voice, do you or do you not know who the number one pick in the NBA draft is going to be?
I do not know.
Oh,
And I did not call in. I mean, I you texted me yesterday, Doug, let's be totally honest, and told me that Billis was crushing me about having a bad temper on the golf course, and all I said was, I want equal time. I didn't come in here to be a spy for either one of my brothers or on either one of my brothers.
You know us well enough to know.
I came here to set the record straight.
You know us well enough to know we're going to bum rush you.
The biggest pouting crybaby in the history of golf.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good. Well, you know, we will give you the equal time. We are going to continue the bum rushing in a second. But if you didn't hear it yesterday, we were talking to Jay Billis about DeAndre Ayton, talking a lot of football, or excuse me, talking about a lot of basketball, and then we asked him what he thought about Phil. And he gave a great response, and then we said, what
I bet it wasn't brief.
No, it wasn't. And then it was, what type of response have you seen from Sean McDonough on the golf course? Have you seen him go all Phil Mickelson?
That's actually every other hole. It happens with odd holes.
He's a McDonough.
Good. We're going to use that against him next time he comes on.
Jay,
thanks for
thank
your time,
you, man.
Jay.
Appreciate
good talk,
you, buddy.
So it was quick. It was a quick rip on you. You are every other hole throwing a club
that
or
is
hitting
so wrong.
Okay.
And there are plenty of people who listen to your show. Well, actually, that in itself might be an oxymoron. There are likely people who listen to your show who have played golf with me who know that that is not true. I am a gentleman and comport myself in the traditions of golf at all times. Billis, on the other hand, I present to you factual information. We have a trip with 16 guys every year. And for the last 13, it's been in Scottsdale. I won't mention my hole-in-one on the trip this year. That would be immodest. I have a scouting report. I write a scouting report on each guy because they're all friends of mine from around the country. Jay plays in it most years. And here's Jay's from 2009. Weaknesses, inconsistent putter, and is prone to temperamental outbursts. A bad first hole can ruin the entire round. See his performance in Maui this past November when a lost ball in the first hole led to 17 more holes of pouting that would have made any three-year-old proud. We used to play, and we do the Maui Invitational Basketball. We'd play first thing in the morning. They were nice enough at the plantation course to let us be first off every morning. As soon as you could see the ball go, so I'm standing behind him as he hits one. We both think it went down the middle, but it's still kind of dark as the sun's just coming up. I said, Jay, I think that was good. We'll find it. We drive out there. We can't find it. I said, just drop one and hit it. No big deal. And literally, he pouted for 17 holes. Not every other hole. 17 holes.
The takeaway is clearly from the magnificent upbringing from your famous father that you write scouting reports just like the other two brothers. I mean, it's like
in
your DNA.
I mean, these things are works of art. At least this probably should have won a Pulitzer Prize. It's 25 pages of bios on the 16 guys, including Billis, who did not play with us this year, unfortunately. He was his instructor. He started a humility camp in Charlotte, which he was teaching at. So he was not able to come this year. Did he tell you about his book? Did he plug his book?
He did not plug his book this year.
Yeah, it's called The 10 Greatest Men in History and What I Think of the Other Nine by Jay Billis.
Shemak, this is stand up right here, brother. This is
I love Jay, not more than he does, but I do love him quite a bit. And he's the best.
Okay.
True, if I can say one thing serious for the first time, probably in all the times I've been on your show, he is as good a friend as you could ever hope to have.
That's
He really, really is. He's he's a terrific guy, obviously a very smart guy, great at what he does, but more than anything else, he is a great person, and I cherish his friendship more than I could adequately describe.
Sean McDonough, ESPN play-by-play voice, joining Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, so I know you're not going to come clean on Ryan, but I will ask you, you've seen enough college basketball. Are you on the DeAndre Ayton bandwagon?
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
I just think that size, athleticism, skill set, potential to be even much better, particularly on the defensive end, really both ends of the court, seems to have a great attitude. The people I know who've been around him say he's a great kid, a hard worker, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
I don't know. If you're starting with that as the package, that's a pretty good package.
It doesn't seem to get much better than that, does it, Joe?
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure these other guys are all really nice players. I saw Marvin Bagley play in person several times this year. He's a very nice player. If I was doing the picking, would I take him ahead of DeAndre Ayton? Absolutely not. Or I haven't seen Luka Doncic other than what we've seen on film. You know, and when you follow it now, guys, I mean, you know, I don't know. And as I said, I haven't talked to Ryan specifically about it. So I don't want to, you know, I probably shouldn't say anything, right, because they wind up picking somebody else that'll seem like his own brother didn't agree with the pick. But, you know, I think, you know, based on everything you hear and read from these people who study this full time, does it really seem at this point that there's much disagreement about
Who the top pick? You know what it is?
Should or would be?
Here's what's interesting about your brother is the people that are kind of the young analysts of the world that would be more in Ryan's age group are on the Doncic bandwagon. And I'm in my 40s. Wolf's really old. And everybody that's older and a basketball fan is 100% on DeAndre Ayton. I mean, you want to talk about old school. Here's a voice that you'll know in a heartbeat.
First of all, if you don't take DeAndre Ayton, you're just an idiot.
I mean, so there's a famous son, Charles Barkley. Anybody, it's almost like there's a line of age demarcation, and wherever you are in the age group, you're either Doncic or you're Ayton.
Well, you know, I haven't observed that, but you guys probably paid more attention to it than I have. I mean, obviously, Doncic is a tremendous player, and you know, there isn't any team in the league that's going to have better intel on him between, you know, Igor's experience with him, as you guys know. And I know the amount of time Ryan and the rest of the staff have spent analyzing him and all these other guys. So, you know, whatever the decision is, they'll come into it from a position of having all the information they could possibly have. That's for sure.
Sean McDonough joining us here. I call him Shamak, ladies and gentlemen. That's
nobody
all you need
does.
To know right there. Nobody else does. It really doesn't matter. But Shamak, honestly, have you been out to the Cardinals facility at all during OTAs? Did you get out?
No, I did not. I'm back in Boston now for the summer.
Summering in Boston.
Yeah. You know, came back here. And we love the Valley of the Sun, particularly while we're there in, from Thanksgiving-ish to about the middle of May. But back here in Boston for the summer.
Have you heard?
I have not been out there.
Have you heard about Josh Rosen at all? Have you talked to your brother Terry at all about Josh Rosen?
I have not.
You,
about Josh Rosen. I have talked to Terry about other things, but
yes, I see.
I have not about Josh Rosen.
Okay,
yeah. What is your takeaway? I mean,
so,
I trust your opinion as much as anybody. Wolf, what do you think?
I'm just going to say, Shamak, that he looks good. He looks good. There's no doubt about it. This guy, he's going through the offense, right? He's doing a great job absorbing the offense and then regurgitating it and making checks and getting everybody in the right protection. I mean, things are going very, very well. But as you know, Sean, everything changes when you put the mouth guard in. Everything changes. And how that's going to go, nobody knows. But right now, boy, it sure beats the alternative that he's doing as well as he is.
Yeah, well, you know, I talked to some of our ESPN guys. You know, Matt Hasselbeck, when the draft was coming up, I asked him before the draft, you know, of all the quarterbacks, because he was studying them all for our draft, you know, pre-draft coverage, and I asked him who he liked the best, and Rosen was the one he liked the best out of all of them, which is encouraging to me, you know, at the high level that Matt played at quarterback in the NFL for a long time. So, you know, obviously he's very smart. He's got the arm talent, and, you know,
I'm
encouraged by what you're saying, because I think that's what the Cardinal people saw when they made the decision to make the move and go get him.
Sean, is there any show that's failed more at trying to be CIA agents to get more McDonough information out of you than
yes.
we did?
What's that?
I said, did anybody fail more than we did as potential CIA agents to get secret McDonough information out of you than we did today?
Well, I don't know. No one's really tried, but the... You know, I wish I knew more, and if I knew more, I wouldn't tell you, because as much as I love you guys, you know, my brothers are my brothers, and, you know, this is a big situation for Ryan, but I'm very excited as a Suns fan more than anything else that, you know, I think this is the start of the way back up, and it was a painful process to go through, but it's going to reap a big reward here on Thursday, regardless of who they pick, And I think it'll be nice to get back to the business of winning.
Oh, amen.
You know what? Toes
amen.
In the beach, reading Herman Melville. What a great summer that's got to be.
He's not reading Herman
Melville. It's not bad. New England in the summer is pretty awesome.
Good to talk to you, Sean. And
Sean,
we'll make sure
you.
We have Billis back on so he can get another shot at you.
Well, you know, all I would say, and you can ask anybody who's played with him, he is the kind of guy, even when you're playing against him, you root for him to play well, because if he doesn't play well, he pouts and like ruins the whole day. So you'd rather give him $20 at the end and enjoy the day than just watch him toss clubs and stomp around and not say anything to anybody. So
I love that
would be the rest of the scouting report. But I'm looking forward to watching him. Who did he say the Suns should pick?
Oh, he's on Aiden. He's right. On Aiden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so is everybody.
Well,
I miss listening to you guys, and look forward to seeing you when we're back out there in the fall.
Absolutely. Right, hey, download the app. You can listen anytime you want. See you, Sean.
That's right. I'll do that. Have a great day, guys.
See you there, Sean McDonough, ESPN, play-by-play voice, brother of Terry McDonough and Ryan McDonough of the Cardinals and the Suns.
Toes in the sand, Melville.
Joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to CoulterTempe.com, CoulterNissan.com, or Coulter on Camel. Back.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, according to his stats, Goldie Slump may not have hurt him as bad as you think. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. What is going on?
Get him my microphone on. Give it to me again. Give it to me again.
Give it to me again.
I didn't have the microphone on.
You
there
don't
we
get
go. All right, here we go. Gather on the transistor.
Break
and
the computer.
Press here.
No.
Oh, man. It's giving the microphone.
Why?
Are you talking to me? Paul Goldschmidt. Yeah, Goldie.
I thought you were calling Michaela.
Ray. Specs. Goldie, Ray, Specs, hitting another one over the wall. That's 15 of the year, Goldie leads the team, yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation Ford Scottsdale, located off of Frank Lloyd Wright and the 101.
Berea will check him, and Goldie swings, and it's a high fly ball deep center field. Trout going back at the warning track, at the wall, 2-0 Diamondbacks. Straightaway center on a two-run homer by Goldie, and the Diamondbacks, two batters in, take a quick 2-0 lead.
Through everything is passing. Goldie's third in home runs in the National League.
Think about that. You said third?
Yeah.
Best line. I know your anger. I know your dreams. I've been everything you want to be. Yeah, Goldie, the cult of personality. Look at Paul Goldschmidt. Do what he does. Say what he says. Act like he acts. And you're going to be fine in this clubhouse. He is the paradigm. He is the paradigm.
Lovello spoke to the media afterwards. This is thanks to Fox Sports Arizona. And it was about the pain of Sunday afternoon with the thrill of Goldie getting it going.
It was exactly what we needed, and we had the right guy step up, and Paul hit that big two-run home run that got us playing downhill baseball and immediately left yesterday behind. And yesterday was a tough loss. There's no doubt about it, but these guys have been battle-tested and tough, and you got to be able to digest those types of days and be ready the next day, and these guys were.
You know, I just can't tell you, Basinonians, how many times I am.
Yeah!
Never a bad time. You need to be. Oh, my goodness. I love that right there. That's right. The cult. What is this right here? This is.
The group is Living Color.
Yeah, of course that. I realize that, Douglas. I'm just saying, you know what? Honestly, this, I did not recognize that verse right there.
That's because we normally bail because your attention span wanes.
But I can tell you right now, it didn't wane right there when I was talking about it. Somebody dropped the ball back there. I have no idea. In command and control, somebody dropped the ball.
Give Michaela a break. She's being trained.
I think it was actually, it was Bear back there. Was it not Bear running the board?
It's not Michaela. Easy for Bear to run the board, reaching around Michaela to try to show her different things.
I will tell you right now how many times you had certain players on a team lead that team. They are the proverbial straw that stirs the drink. And that's what Paul Goldschmidt is. And you can just see it offensively, right? The return of Paul Goldschmidt has also brought about the return of the Arizona Diamondbacks hitting the ball. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I do not. Listen, you know what? Other than Goldie's two-run bomb yesterday, Nick Ahmed had a couple of hits, including a home run that went off the glove of Mike Trout. It was unbelievable to see Trout do that. Ketel Marte drove the ball over the wall, right? John Jay stayed hot with a couple of hits. Jeff Mathis drove in a couple of runs. A great sign just to see the team starting to produce once again offensively. Look into my eyes. What do you see? The cult of personality. The best line of that song, I know your anger, I know your dreams, I've been everything you want to be. Paul Goldschmidt would never, ever say that, which makes it so entertaining to me. But the offense is back, the bats are flying because Paul Goldschmidt is back.
There's also something else here that you need to look at in this game. Brad Boxberger is the closer of this team. Yet Archie comes in and gets the toughest hitters out in the toughest inning.
Silver bullet.
The toughest hitters were actually in the ninth inning.
Yes.
Now,
I know what you're going to say.
When you look at how things worked out, Archie had pitched on the 14th, the 15th, and the 17th. And then Brad Boxberger had pitched on the 14th, 15th, and 17th.
Yes.
Well, Archie had pitched on the 14th and 17th. So the only difference is one day, June 15th. And now when it comes time to see who's going to pitch on the 18th, they chose Archie. And they didn't use Brad Boxberger.
Okay.
There's a lot of line of thinking, which is when you fall off the horse as hard as Brad Boxberger did, get him right back up there. Show him you're our guy.
Interesting.
There is something to look at here that the Diamondbacks, that Torey Lovello felt like my best reliever and my hottest reliever, even though Archie Bradley's given up a couple of solo homers lately, is Archie Bradley. I'm going to stick with him right now and not just to get the one batter out, Kinsler, with runners on in the eighth. But when he came back out in the ninth, that is either a sign that you get one of three choices. Hey, oh my gosh, we're facing Trout, Upton, and Pujols. That's Bradley time. Or it's a case where they are saying this was too big of a save for this team at this juncture to trust anybody else. We've got to go with our number one reliever.
What is your problem? What is your problem? I mean, who are you? You dropped that at 8:56?
No, it was the first time you were quiet in 4 hours.
You dropped that at 8:56? A salient point actually made by Doug Franz. Somebody ripped the last minute and put that in the audio vault.
You know what? Since he couldn't get his thoughts together until 8:57 now, let's just go there next.
Just rip that. Put it in the audio file.
I was distracted by the Oklahoma sweatshirt, I have to tell you. Coming up next, did the Diamondbacks just declare a new closer? Or did they actually declare last night an emergency situation? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.